Chapter 8. Fact-checking the fact-checkers.
Education is not the learning of facts. Rather, it's the training of the mind to think. Quote by Albert Einstein.
This is a cognitive dissonant moment, which is being imprinted in your brain. Just like remember the Great Depression, remember 9/11. We are being conditioned to have the excuse for unbelievable acts of tyranny, which will be justified by remember 2020. Your loved ones, those that died, those that are infected, they're being used as cannon fodder, which is the ultimate desecration of their honor and integrity. This is also a test of humanity, to see how much of our liberty we will let go before we finally draw a line under enough.
So, what do we do now?
This is not a time for us to go in a mob frenzy, find the perpetrators and haul them into the town square and pillory them. This is a moment for us to recognize that every decision that is being made today by any of the conspiring parties made perfect sense in each increment when each one of those decisions was made. The sum of those incremental steps, however, has led to devastation, because they lost touch with their fellow humanity. That's an invitation for each one of us to examine how we're living and how not a single decision we make, not one, in any moment is without consequence. This is our moment to reclaim our humanity.
4.5 hours after the interview began, it was a wrap, and the entire team was shell-shocked. Instead of being just a piece of Plandemic 2, Dr. Martin's interview became the foundation of an entirely new project, Plandemic, Indoctrination.
The original intention was to create a trilogy, 3 30-minute episodes. Halfway into the editing, as online censorship was becoming more and more intense, I thought, we may not get a chance to release the third movie. I made the last-minute call to join part 2 and part 3 to make one feature-length movie.
Indoctrination is the result. Due to the impact of Part 1, this time around they had the support of hundreds of top doctors and scientists from around the world. Mickey used them all as de facto fact-checkers.
I would write a section of the film, then send the rough script to 3 different email threads to get feedback. One thread was occupied by a dozen or more doctors and vaccine experts. Another was occupied by legal scholars and patent attorneys. The third thread was a mix of researchers and journalists. I asked all 3 threads to scrutinize every claim until we got it right. Next step was to create a rough edit of the sections we were working on, then send that out to the collective to be further scrutinized. Once everyone was satisfied with the information, we would then insert that section into the body of the full movie.
The Plandemic production team and their researchers were ready for the challenge. They scoured through archives of obscure medical journals, investigated official government reports, read piles of legislation, studied tax records, retrieved patents, and conducted off-record interviews with eyewitnesses. For every major claim, there was a day or a week of work to ensure that it was airtight. Typically, a feature-length documentary takes 1 to 5 years to complete. With Indoctrination, they delivered it in a little more than 3 months. The late nights were worth it if it meant getting the film out during the pandemic, while there was still time to inform the public of the potential hazards of volunteering for a global medical experiment. One of the most basic human rights is the right to informed consent, but that right too often gets placed aside when the public is paralyzed by fear. Heading into the release date, the team was feeling good. They had learned a lot from the lessons of Part 1, and created what they felt was a strong riposte to the critics. When Plandemic 1 was released, the attacks on Dr. Mikovits were fast and furious, mainly because she was such low-hanging fruit. Dr. Mikovits had been dragged through the mud during other scuffles with Big Pharma in the past. Even just one of those older articles, at most outlets, would be enough to justify a new hit piece. It didn't take much critical thought or reporting know-how to follow that line of attack. Dr. Martin, however, didn't have that kind of baggage. He is a financial analyst and the founder of the world's first quantitative index of public equities, the IQ 100 CNBC Index on Wall Street. He is a Batten Fellow at the University of Virginia's Darden Graduate School of Business Administration. He served as chair of economic innovation for the UN-affiliated Intergovernmental Renewable Energy Organization. He was an advisor to numerous central banks, global economic forums, the World Bank and International Finance Corporation, and national governments, including the U.S. Congress. With that kind of background, the fact that he was stepping out and stepping up was on its own a big deal. In so many ways, Dr. Martin was the establishment. He knew the ins and outs, and he knew, in a sense, where the bodies were buried. So, anyone looking for an easy Google search result to pick up and parrot would have a hard time this time around. The Plandemic team knew what to expect from big tech. This time, they built their own decentralized website, ensuring that it would be far more challenging to take down. In an effort to activate the buzz prior to the official release, they shared the news of Indoctrination's impending launch with a list of followers that had been generated through Plandemic 1. They requested that their audience spread the word about where to watch the live stream debut. Friday, August 18, would be the day for the world premiere of Plandemic Indoctrination on the popular UK-based platform London Real. In the days before the premiere, London Real's announcements were shared and liked thousands of times across all of the major social media platforms. By announcing the video's release, though, they also alerted the critics. And the trolls came ready, too. As they prepared to start the live stream, London Real's developers sent the Plandemic team the following email. Subject line, DOS attack. We are experiencing a ton of brute force denial of service attacks. See the attached log. Someone is trying to disrupt access to our site. We got through it, but it shows the lengths that they are willing to go to stop this from coming out. London, 7:30 p.m. local time, August 18. Welcome to the world premiere of what might be the most important documentary you will ever see, said Brian Rose, the host and founder of London Real. In the end, Brian's debut of the film went off without a hitch. Plandemic Indoctrination ended up setting the world record for the largest live stream broadcast of a documentary film, with more than 1.9 million unique viewers tuning in for the big event. By the end of the day, the movie was viewed more than 4 million times on the London Real platform alone. After the live stream finished, the Plandemic team released the movie on various platforms. Of course, they knew that just like last time, the hammer of social media censorship would fall at some point. They just had no idea how fast. Before the movie was even done premiering, Facebook blocked the live stream and critics were already claiming that the movie had been debunked. Unable to name a single inaccurate claim, critics resorted to lazy one-liners. NBC News said, boring. PolitiFact said, yawn. BuzzFeed News said, a flop. The only real flop was their plan to prevent people from watching and sharing the movie. By the end of the day, the London Real link was shared more than 300,000 times. Mickey made the directorial choice to avoid all hot-button distractions, such as masks, social distancing, or anything related to vaccine safety and efficacy. As a result, this time, the critics would have to find fault with the information itself. Most reporters were simply too lazy for that, clearly. The few who were foolish enough to attack Dr. Martin's claims often made critical errors such as misreading the patents or misinterpreting key details. Even patent lawyers struggled to understand, and many reached out. Dr. Martin was ready to answer them.
David began reaching out to all of the fact-checkers and critics. I was copied on every email. I would wake up every morning and quickly check the thread to see who David was debating that day. He always began engagement with a cordial invitation.
Dear Sir or Madam, thank you for covering Plandemic Indoctrination. However, we believe that there seemed to be some misinterpretation of key points. We've attached the original source documents to clarify. Please feel free to reach out should you have any further questions. We would, after review, appreciate a public correction. Kind regards, the Plandemic team.
Only a couple were confident enough to respond. Typically, the fact checker would send a link to a bogus study. David would show them all the ways their evidence was invalid. They would then disappear and stop responding to our messages. Not one had the integrity to offer a retraction or to even acknowledge their error.